Kamashata. I thank you, Lord, for being in this place today. I thank you for being the God of glory. I thank you, Father God, that we will see and know you in ways that we've not understood before. Father, in Jesus' name, be in the midst of us. Speak to these hearts of ours in such a way, Lord God, that we won't be able to resist you. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Hallelujah. That we'll just keep coming because we know there's more and we want more. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, open our eyes to see like we've never seen before. Oh, God, like we've never seen before. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you've been hit long enough and hard enough and hit right, you'll break. I took these out of my yard today. I hope I don't tear them up. But you see this hammer, if I keep hitting this rock, at first it won't give. But if I keep hitting it, it's going to start chipping. It's going to start breaking. It's starting to chip now. It's starting to break now. Because this hammer is stronger than this rock. Takes a little bit more for this one right here. But if I hit it long enough, eventually it's going to break. The devil is like a hammer. He just keeps hitting and hitting. See, it's starting to chip. I ain't going to tear it up because I got to put it back in my yard. But it's starting to chip. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when he keeps hitting at you, when he keeps beating at you, eventually you start to give under the pressure. Eventually you start to break. And so that's why God encourages us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that we have to remember to be like those. Well, let me read 6:12 to you. He says, he prays that we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And you know, I used to read that like inherited the promises, talking about those in the past. No, those who through faith and patience now. Those who through faith and patience now we're to follow. Those who through faith and patience now inherit the promises of God. God has made promises to each and every one of us in here. He's begun with the church itself by saying that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Jesus said that. And so no matter how many times the devil comes, no matter how many times he hits, because we belong to Jesus, he will never break us. He may chip away, but he'll never break. And if we'll remember to be faithful to the God who is faithful to us, where he chipped away, we'll be built up again. Will be made whole again. You see, the book of Hebrews was written to the church at such a time that the church was kind of vacillating back and forth. They were on and off. They were getting bad teachings and bad doctrine. People were coming in among them that only wanted their money. People coming in among them that wanted to seduce the silly women away from God. All kinds of things were happening. And these people were hearing that Jesus was not really the Savior, that he was not the only way for them to be saved, but there were other things. And so all of these things coming at them at one time started to make them start to begin to doubt. They begin to fear. And so when they started to begin to doubt and fear, they start to waver. Some begin to slip away from God. Some of them just became lazy about the things of God. Some didn't even watch out. They didn't even watch out for their souls or anybody else's soul. They started to believe that psychology was going to do it. They started to believe that the world had the answers. They started to believe that Oprah had the answers. Like that. They started to think that the TV talk show had it, or the little group or the little club that they started to organize themselves on the pretext that this is how God would do it, but they're really giving you human understanding about things. They started to do everything but trust God himself. And so when the book of Hebrews is written, God says, come away from those things. Come away from the ways of the world. Because as long as you do, you're going to have what you did believe chipped away at. You're going to start doubting. You're going to start fearing. You're going to start thinking that this is better than what, or this added to what God says to me. No, there's no adding to Jesus. There's no adding to Jesus. God only gave us one way, and Jesus is his name. God only promised us salvation through him, and no other way is going to come. You're not going to get a quick fix. The 12-step program is not going to fix you. Nothing can save you but Jesus. Nothing and no one. And so this scripture here says, so don't be slothful. Don't start slowing down. Don't start slouching off. He said, but be like those who inherit the promises, and they're the people who walk with God in faith. They're the people who trust God with their whole heart, and they are patient, and they wait upon the Lord. You know, waiting is not always easy. How many know that? Especially when you have a situation that seems desperate, or a situation where you feel like somebody needs to move and move now, makes you do desperate things. Makes you do things that God would not cause you to do. And so he said, don't look in any direction except me. He said, those who follow after me with faith and patience, their souls are anchored. And they, like the ship, when the anchor is dropped, won't float away. The wind can't come and blow it away, because the anchor has been measured according to the weight of the ship and the things that might come to toss and drive it. And so God speaks a word in each of our lives that will bring us to the place where we'll be still when we could be tossed and driven. God will send a word that will keep us holding on when we could be giving up. And so as I was praying about this and I was thinking about this, Jairus came to my mind in Mark chapter 5. Let's look at Jairus. I want to show you something. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to be people who are trusting him even in impossible situations. And you know, we all meet situations that are bigger than us. Amen. All of us have times in our lives that are more than what we can handle. And so look at Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jairus had heard that Jesus is a healer. He believed what he heard. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Faith is developed in my heart when I hear what God said and I believe it. When I hear something concerning God and who he is, it creates in me the ability to believe him in spite of my situation. In spite of my circumstances, it creates in me the ability to believe him when the impossible is facing me or I'm facing the impossible. It creates in me what I need to not be moved and to believe that it's going to be hopeless, but to trust that God will do it. And so when he came to Jesus, he believed that Jesus could raise his daughter up. He believed if you'll just come, what's going on with her won't be anymore. So Jesus said, okay, because God moves by what? Faith. You want God to intervene, it's by faith that he does it. He doesn't move just because we have a need. Because if he did, notice, you would have, there would be no needs in this house today. There would be no relationship problems. There would be no financial problems. There would be no job problems. If need moved God, everybody would be okay in here right about now. But how many here need a little more money? How many in here know that you got some relationships that are just not working? How many of you are dealing with fear? How many of you are dealing with insecurities of some sort? Can you hear what I'm saying? So God knows that there's something going on with you that you need. The problem is that you don't know yet that he'll fix it. You heard that he would do it for somebody else, but will he do it for me? Will he move in my house? I heard about what he did over there, but will he do it over here? It's easy to see God afar off. But when you're right in a situation that is pressing you and there seems to be no change, you wonder what? God, I've been dealing with this for so long. Years and years and years. When, God? When are you going to stop questioning me? When are you going to start looking at me like I'm able to do it? When will you begin to praise me before the breakthrough? When will you say, God is God no matter where I am today? When will we come to the place where we're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If he does not deliver us from this fire, we're going to praise him anyway. Many times God is just waiting for that heart to come to the place where it's trusting him more than what it's looking at, more than the situation that you're dealing with. Because God wants us to trust him completely. Not just get a quick fix. God, will you fix this? And then I'm up and playing again. I'm up and I'm doing what I want to do again. But when are we going to just trust that he is God? And be able to say, whether he comes or not, this situation will not take me out. Because that's another level of trusting God. That's another level of faith. That's saying God knows best. That's saying God knows what I don't know. He understands what I don't understand. Like I told him in Sunday school this morning, my mother used to say some things to me about things that could happen to me along the road if I did certain things. But I felt like she was old and didn't know what she's talking about. But of course, we know that in the 50s and the 60s, we didn't tell them that. Not unless you want to be toothless. And then you need to find yourself picking them up because you're not going to the dentist. So I just thought. I didn't trust that she understood. I didn't trust that her love for me was so pure that she didn't want to see me encounter certain things. She didn't want to see certain things happen to me. I didn't trust her enough for that because I was about what I wanted. I was about what I wanted to do. And he loved me. But did he respect you? But she was telling me what was best. I didn't do what was best. And so I suffered the consequences. You hear what I'm saying? And so oftentimes we don't trust God to get us there. We take, if he don't move what we call fast enough or what we call on time, then we jump up and we do something. And then, and now you got to get us out of not one mess, but two messes. Well, say amen, lights. Hallelujah. It's got to get us out of two messes instead of one. And so Jairus heard that Jesus is the healer. He heard that Jesus is going about and he's healing people. And he has a situation where he needs Jesus. He needs what he says. He needs what Jesus can do. And so he comes. And so Jesus says, okay, he's going with him. Meanwhile, there's a woman with an issue of blood who comes and seems to distract Jesus. So by the time he gets done with the woman, verse 35 says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Man, it's too late now. It's too late. You know, he didn't come when she was alive, so don't bother him. It's over. She's gone now. They ready to have a funeral. They ready to have a funeral because the situation looks like it's beyond Jesus' help. There are times it looks like, well, if he hasn't moved yet, then it must be beyond his help. There's nothing too hard for God. Say nothing. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing. Say nothing. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. It's never too late for him. Don't you know Judas could have repented there at the end, but he chose not to. He chose to keep on that track. You know you're on a wrong track, but you keep going. What? You're taking the road to Springfield. Interstate 55 is the way to get there from there, from here. Interstate 55. Why are you looking for 57? Hmm? 55 north to Springfield. Why are you looking for 57? It's going to take you a roundabout way. It's going to take you all past Springfield. You're not going to go to Springfield. But the course is to get you to Springfield. So you're going to take Interstate 55. Why would you do something else? Why would you go to the grocery store looking for? I'm trying to think of what they don't sell there because they sell everything now. Okay, shoes. Why would you go to the grocery store looking for shoes if you need shoes? Why would you go there looking for shoes? You wouldn't, would you? Would you? Would you go to the Halloween store looking for Christmas decorations? You go to the place that you know you can find what you need. So when you come to Jesus and he's with you, why are you stepping off somewhere else? Because something happened before he got there. Something happened before the change you were looking for came. Why are you doing that? And Jesus, as soon as he heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know what Jesus said? You know how, like I was trying to get Chase to look at me this morning? I said, look at me and shut up. I said, look at me. So he did his eyes like that. I said, look at me. And that's how many of us do. God said, look at me. He said, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right because your answer is not over there. Your answer is not in she's already dead. That's not where your answer is. He said, look at me. Just believe. This man just lost his daughter. Grief hit him. Come on, let's be real. The moment he heard that his daughter was dead, you know his heart sunk. You know he was feeling something, or Jesus wouldn't have said, only believe. Only believe. Because the temptation to think something else, the temptation to go in another direction will always be present. The temptation to be fearful will always be present. The temptation to give up will always be present. To grow weary when you don't see change for a long time. The temptation to grow weary and quit is there. But God is saying, no, look at me. Look back at me so you can remember why you came to me. Remember why we came to Jesus at all. Because we needed salvation. Huh? We needed to live again. Why did we come to Jesus? Because we need him. Because he is our life. He's our everything. That's why we came to him. And so Jesus is saying, no, look at me. You came to me for one thing, and that was that I would raise your daughter up. So only believe. Now that, oh my God, that you don't know he can do more than what you've experienced is not a problem if you keep looking at him. He's not heard about people being raised from the dead. So it'd be easy for him to stop believing because she died. It'd be easy for you to stop believing because it's beyond your experience or what you've heard about him. Jesus can do more than what you've heard. He can do more than what you understand. He's bigger than anything that could happen in your life. He's more than. More than enough. From a word, he's more than this life you're living now. He's able to take, by the power of his word and his spirit, your life and transform it to make you into someone you never thought you'd be. That's why one of the things that we prayed for this week were those who are weak among us. Those people who can't hold up their own hands. So we prayed that their hands would be held up by those of us who know they need a hand held up. Don't look at somebody weak in this body and talk about them. Pray for them and then go over there and offer them what they need. If this girl needs you to hold her hand up, you need to get up. If you need, stand up. I can't pick her up, but I can pick her up in the spirit. There are people who don't know some things that others of us may know and understand. You don't talk about what they don't know. You pray until they get it. We're one body. There are people who keep falling away. But we're one body. This person said to me about a week ago, but What if I backslide again? He'll receive you again. Every time you repent, every time you come back, the righteous man falleth seven times. There's no scripture to say you won't fail. There's nothing to say you won't fall. But there is scripture to say when you fall, you'll get up. There's nothing to say you'll always get it right. But there is scripture to say that God will speak a word to you until you are changed. He'll speak a word to you till your want to changes. Till you don't want to do it that way anymore. So in the interim, we pray. In the interim, we pray. And hear what I'm saying? God said, pray for the soul that's in jeopardy. The one that's in danger. The one that's in danger of going over and not coming back. The one who know they doing wrong and doing it anyway. Pray for that soul. Pray for that soul that's trampling on the blood of Jesus. They know to do right and they sitting in the house still clowning. God said, don't criticize. Pray. Then the next day, the very next day, I was sitting in my tub, and I was thinking about something that somebody said. And I thought, they'll get theirs. Jesus said, oh? Oh? Are you praying for the soul that's in jeopardy? Are you taking pleasure in, they gonna get it? Which is it? God's not out to get anybody. He's not out to condemn anybody. He's out to save every soul that's lost. And every weak person, he said, hold them up until they're strong. We don't have time. Jesus said, only believe. Only believe. Because I'm fixing that. I'm working on that. That soul has been hammered away at and chipped away at, falling back to some of the things of the past. But that's okay. Because you as a believer, if you confess Christ, then you're supposed to be praying for that soul. And there are souls that are in jeopardy. Can you hear what I'm saying? People that's in the house playing. In the house because God ain't condemned them. Because they ain't got caught. Ain't got sense enough to know. Listen here. Ain't got sense enough to know that when God don't get you, that's mercy giving you space to repent. Space to repent. And while he's being merciful, he has laborers laboring for your soul. Crying out for that thing in you to die so that you can live. There's something in you that needs to die so you can live. And God's got people praying that you don't die with it, but it dies and you live. We don't rejoice in another person's downfall. We don't look for God to get somebody because they did something wrong or did something to you. You know how, you know, y'all ain't acting right. You know, I'm getting them. Really? And who's going to get you? Come on, I'm just being real. I'm being real. It's like God is showing me the little things. The little things, because when you add them up, they become one big thing. He's showing me the little things. The little things. I told him in prayer meeting the other night that when I was in the revival, the pastor whose church where I was came to church one night with a gorgeous necklace on. That thing was so pretty, but I don't like anything heavy around my neck. But out of my mouth, here's what I said: girl, I'm taking that home with me when I leave. And the Holy Ghost said, you don't want that necklace. You just lied. And I didn't want that necklace. But you know, we're being funny. We're saying things that we really don't mean. Huh? I didn't mean that. What I meant was, girl, that necklace is the bomb. It's rocking. It's cutting up. It's doing some stuff. Because it was. Do you hear me? That thing, I mean, it made her whole outfit look like something else again. But I didn't want it. The truth is, I didn't want it. And didn't know she was trying to go about trying to get somebody to go to Jackson to get me one. But the Holy Ghost didn't let it get that far. I love Jesus. Ooh-wee! I love Jesus. Oh, yes! I love you, Jesus! Because God had me give a pastor a word who apparently ain't been using her mouth right, like I had just done. You got to watch what you say because your anointing is in your mouth, girl. And then I had to tell on myself about the necklace. And then that relieved them from thinking they had to go to Jackson to get me one. Because the truth is, because of the size of it, I wouldn't have been wearing it. I can't stand a whole lot around my neck. Am I making sense? We don't want to sidestep Jesus. We don't want to sidestep and go some other way. We don't want to give up. We don't want to let go because it's dead, or because it's not functioning, or because I don't see the change. We don't give up because we don't see the change. We don't give up because transforming word is not what we heard in the beginning. We don't give up. We're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. I woke up dreaming this morning. It was so many people coming into church, I couldn't figure out where they were all coming from. And just when I thought they had stopped coming, they were coming some more. You hear what I'm saying? But right now, all we got is a handful. And we're going to be faithful to God for the handful. Ain't going to be complaining to God for the handful. Hallelujah. Going to say, thank you, Jesus. Because everyone is a soul that you died for. Amen. Everyone is a soul that you went to Calvary for. Ain't mad at you, God, if you leave me with just one to preach to. I'm going to preach like a crazy person. Looking only at Jesus. You thought he could do it in the beginning. What changed? You, not him. What changed? Not him. Jesus didn't change. Huh? He used to sit on the front seat. You know, we didn't have all them buckets in between us like y'all got now. I'd be over here. You couldn't tell me and Mike were two people. I'd be on him so. Couldn't hardly wait till he bent over, gave me a little sugar. Sweetest kisses I ever had in my life. Oh, child, nobody kissed like Michael Wells. I'm just telling you what God loves, and that's the truth. Nobody could kiss like Michael Wells. Girl, he'd get over there and give me a kiss. Ooh, I was lost. She trying to say Tim can kiss like that. I don't know nothing about Tim. I don't know nothing about Tim. I don't know nothing about DeMond. I don't know nothing. Look at that, they little husband. I don't know nothing about them men. I don't know nothing about Keith. You couldn't see nothing. And one day a lady passed by. This is a story, it ain't true, but it's a little example. You know how Jesus gives little examples? He gives parables. Heavenly meaning, earthly example. And so she's sitting over there, leaning up against, look out the window the other way. Ain't even looking at him. You can tell she ain't looking at him because she's in somebody else's car. She looking at somebody else's car and saying, honey, remember when we used to ride like that? And he's sitting over here behind the wheel where he's always been. And he said, I didn't move, you did. Jesus didn't move. He's still on his way to Jairus' house. Yeah, he stopped and he took care of this, but he didn't forget you. Yes, somebody else got it before you thought you were going to get it. But he's still on his way to your house. He's still on his way to your house. He told you he would. So if he said he would, he still is. Because he can't lie. Jesus, he can't lie. There's a peace for you, Jared, that God is still going to give you. There's a peace for you. You don't have a lot of peace. Jesus. But that's okay. Because God has promised to give you peace. And you will have it. I don't know how he's going to work it. I just know he's going to do it. Jesus said, only believe. Maybe somebody going to intercede for you until you just rise up and be the man that God told you you're going to be. Smart, he got a mind. He got a mind. And he can do anything he set his mind to. But his peace keeps wavering. Mm-hmm. God's going to steady him. Jesus said, only believe. only believe. Don't do something else. Just believe. Don't say what if. Only believe. Don't go there. Don't get nervous. Don't let this thing break you down because it's been going on so long. Don't let it break you down. God said, no. Mm-mm. Only believe. And he followed Jairus to the house where the dead girl lay. Took him to the house where the dead girl lay. People sitting around. They weren't faking like Chase was faking this morning, so I give him a tissue. 2 years old, fake him, trying to fake me out. They in the house, they weeping because all they see is loss. Life just walked in. The giver of life just walked in. The giver of life is in this place today. He's not coming, he's here. People waiting on the Holy Ghost, he's here. People waiting on power. Power, the day Jesus ascended, he said, all power in heaven and earth in my hands. And then he gave that same power to his disciples. He bestowed what was in him upon them. He gave them the same authority, the same miracle working ability that he had. That's why we're anointed. Because Jesus anointed us. Gave it to us. Same things he did, we're going to do. Then he said, and then you'll do greater things than me. Say what? Greater than you, Jesus? Hello, somebody. That sounds wonderful to me. That God would say that he would trust us. Not only with the things that Jesus did, but greater. That's why you got to keep going with Jesus. It died. Okay, where are we going? Because it must be going to get up. They went to the house with him. Everybody's sitting in there crying. Mourning. Jesus put them out. He said, come here, Peter, James, and John. Everybody else got to go. Because we got work to do here today. This girl will not stay dead. This girl will not stay dead. It will not remain in the condition that you found it to this point. You won't stay like what you've been to this point. And I want to tell him thank you. Huh? Oh, you've been beat. That old hammer. Been chipping at you. Don't you break. I'm praying for it. I don't care about this rock, but I do about this. He's been hammering away at you, and God is saying no. Some things have gone to the extreme, and God is still saying, I'm still here. I'm still able. Can you hear what I'm saying? Jesus went over there and raised that girl up. God is going to raise up your situation that you think is beyond help. But Lord, how do I know? Because you're looking at me. And when we look at him, we see that nothing's too hard for him. It's when we look away that we mourn and we grieve. It's when we look away that we feel the pain and the hurt and feel like it's hopeless. But when we continue to look at him, we know it's okay. Can you hear what I'm saying? Nobody in here is going to fall apart. Feels like it to some of you. I know it. But we're not falling apart. We're not losing today. We win. Say, I win. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I'm preaching again to you the things that I preached to you before. Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, what I preach to you, I'm preaching you the same thing. Only this time, don't be moved. Only this time remain steadfast. In Deuteronomy, Moses stood up and he told the children of Israel, here's what God told you before, and he's telling you this again. What am I saying? God said, I haven't changed you yet. what he meant all the time. So you know something? We need to act like we soldiers of the cross. Yeah. We need to be ready to go. We need to do this. We need to watch and work. We need to work in the kingdom and we need to watch. Watch means pray. We can't do this without prayer. And like I believe God said, don't take but two or three. I believe him. I'm not going to sit up and worry over who ain't praying. Because he don't take but two or three of us. And if it's just one, he'll work with that one till somebody else raise up. That revival that started in New York City many years ago started with one person. And that revival spread all the way across the nation to St. Louis. One person started praying. One person started praying. And after a while, he had all kinds of people praying with him. So much so to all businesses closed down at the lunch hour. So everybody could pray. They prayed so hard that they turned taverns into churches. They prayed so hard till they turned barns into churches. They prayed so hard that they didn't have enough room for all of the people that were getting saved. And we can't pray Brooklyn out of a hole. I beg to differ. We can't pray the weak saints among us out of the hole. I beg to differ. We can't pray those people back in the house that we lost to sin. I beg to differ. We can and we will. We can and we will. We're going to pray till there's a want to in you that can't be answered and satisfied by nobody but Jesus. So there's a desire in you so strong. So we'll have to have somebody here 24 hours a day to let everybody in that need to pray. I'm believing it. God said house of prayer, not church as usual. We're not falling in any more slumps because we're only believing. We're looking at Jesus. Won't be distracted. Distractions will come, but we're looking at Jesus. Can you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey! Hey! Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. I saw you all week. I thought, where is she, Jesus? Where is she? He said, she coming. I turned around and saw you today. Had to pray for you. Because you are part of this body and God has something for you to do in this body. Hallelujah. There are those who need the counsel that's in you. There are those that need the counsel in you. You are rich in Christ. There is so much in you. You're going to start breaking up things in people's lives as you speak to them. You'll just say it, and it's going to happen for them. You'll just say it, and it's going to happen for them. You'll just say it, and it'll happen. They will know that they have heard from God. They won't even assign it to you. They'll know they heard from God. If there is anybody in this house who does not know Jesus as Savior, we want to give you opportunity to come. Maybe you're in this house and you know in your heart you backslidden. You need to just come to the altar and tell God, I'm sorry. I'm back home. I'm turning around. I'm coming back. I'm not doing this my way anymore. I'm doing it your way. You may be here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to give you the opportunity to tell the Lord yes once more. Tell the Lord, I hear you. And I hear what you are saying to me. Yes, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone in this house today. I thank you, Lord God, that you're calling us again to remember that you have not forgotten those things that you have spoken to us individually and collectively. I thank you, Lord God, that you remind us that if we believe you, then we will see the impossible. The impossible happened with Jairus that day when you raised his daughter from the dead. You're reminding us, Lord God, that there is nothing too hard for you. You impregnated a young woman one day with your son without the aid of a man. You can do anything but fail. Ah, Lord God, I thank you for restoration in this house. I thank you for restoring those souls that have been chipped away. I thank you, God, that you restore and you make whole, even as you raise that girl from the dead. If you can raise a dead child, you can certainly bring restoration to a soul, Lord God, that's been injured. To a life, Lord God, where the soul is in jeopardy. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, for everybody in this place today to know your heart and to know your will concerning them. Where repentance is needed, Father, I pray that repentance will come. You would that none be lost to you. You would that none, you said those that the Father had given you will not be lost. And so that means you're not willing to let anybody go that's yours. And so we pray, dear Father, that there would be true repentance in the heart of the true believer. And anyone's not a true believer, that prayer is not for them anyway. But for the true believer, weak or strong, we pray, Lord God, for that soul today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is faithful and he is true. You hear what I'm saying? God is faithful and he is true. I thank God for that. I thank God for that.